The 2022 Olivier Award-winning Best New Musical, Back to the Future, the musical, is coming to Schenectady's Proctor's Theater. The Broadway and West End hit show is based on the legendary film. It plays at Proctor's from June 6th through June 8th. Marty McFly is a rock and roll teenager who is accidentally transported back to 1955 in a time-traveling DeLorean invented by his friend Dr. Emmett Brown. But before he can return to 1985, Marty must make sure his high school-age parents fall in love in order to save his own existence. Back to the Future, the musical, has a book by Bob Gale, new music and lyrics by Emmy and Grammy award-winning Alan Silvestri, and six-time Grammy award-winning Glenn Ballard, with additional songs from the film, including The Power of Love and Johnny Be Good. Bob Gale is the co-creator and co-writer of the Back to the Future film trilogy. He has written the book for the musical, and it is an honor to have him on the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I am absolutely fantastic and very excited about opening this show here in Schenectady.
So my understanding is that you had the opening in London, so you tried it out in Manchester, then you went to London, and then you got ready for New York. Of course, there was a pandemic in the middle of this, and now the tour starts out here. So you are by now somewhat familiar with this process of getting this thing off the ground.
You never get so familiar with it that it's second nature, because every show is a little bit different. Every theater is a little bit different. And so we've made adjustments in the show so that we could take it on tour and put it on trucks. But it is turning out to be a glorious experience. And, of course, we have a brand new cast for the tour, and they are all absolutely fabulous. So I couldn't be more excited.
When you come in here in Schenectady, what do you see your role as, of what your job is?
My job is simply to ensure that this version of Back to the Future embodies what everybody expects from Back to the Future. I'm sort of the gatekeeper of the franchise, and I want everybody to know that when something says Back to the Future on it, it's a guarantee of quality.
And that seems like a heavy job.
Yeah, this is heavy. There's that word again. It is on a certain level, because you can be around certain types of people that want to take shortcuts. But the most gratifying thing about doing this production is that everybody that gets involved in it gets involved because they are fans of the movie. They're fans of the franchise. And they want to bring the love that they have for the movie onto the stage. And so that means that they're going to go the extra mile. They're going to give 150% instead of 100%. And nobody ever is only going to give 50%. So it's great.
I lived in Philadelphia when the film came out, and there was a big premiere for the movie. And I went to that instead of my prom. And I will go to my grave to say that the reason was to see the movie and not because I didn't have a date. However, I, at that moment, fell in love with Back to the Future.
Well, that is an absolutely great story. And if you had taken a date to the prom, you wouldn't have fallen in love with her.
That's true. You're absolutely right. I will say that when, because a bunch of my friends, we were there, and we just felt it was electric. You were like, it was as if you were just part of something. This brought my parents' generation, it brought our generation, it brought everything together. And we just came out thinking, my God, how could anything be better than this?
Well, I don't know if anything can be better than it, but one of the goals of the musical is to give people that exact feeling. So people will say to me, well, why don't you do Back to the Future Part 4? But what they're really saying is, I want to see a movie that gives me the same feeling I had the first time I saw Back to the Future. And Back to the Future, the musical, does that. People have an audience experience for Back to the Future, and so many people have never even had that. You're fortunate enough to have had that in 1985, but so many people have only ever seen Back to the Future on TV. And so to come and be in a theater with 2,000 other people, laughing at the same jokes, excited by all the same special effects, And it's a communal, wonderful experience listening to this music played by a live orchestra. There's nothing like it.
My understanding, and there's a great book out about the creation of the musical going back to its origins in England. But let me ask you, because my understanding is that Bob Zemeckis and his wife, they're in New York, and they say, oh, you know, Back to the Future could be. They're leaving the theater and saying, oh, Back to the Future could be a musical. So at what point do they call you up and say, oh, Back to the Future could be a musical?
This was in 2005. They'd seen The Producers, which is arguably one of the best of the movie to musical translations. This was, I think, like in December 2005 or something. And anyway, Bob called me up and he said, think about this. Think about doing it. And I thought about it. And it was coming from his wife, who was a fan, not from somebody who's saying, oh, how can we make more money off of that? She loved musical theater and she loved Back to the Future. And she thought, this could work. And we kicked it around and we said, all right, let's bring Alan Silvestri and Glenn Ballard in here and see what they think and kick it around with them. And in February 2006, we had this meeting that was our first real, truly creative meeting about what Back to the Future, the musical, could be. And the end of the meeting, we just said to those guys, Al, Glenn, why don't you guys go off and write some songs and come back here in a couple of weeks and let's see what this could be like. And they came back and they had three or four songs. And I think all three or four of those songs are still in the show, slightly changed a bit, but they got it. We were rolling around on the floor laughing. It was so great. And we said, this could work. Yeah, this could work.
The interesting thing I thought when I first saw the musical on Broadway was that the film was so musical. The film had such a soundtrack. I mean, so some of the songs are different, yes. But there was such an association. You were coming out of that film humming. And to look at that and to tap into that for a musical, it's glorious.
One of the questions that one always asks about a musical is, why does this story sing? And we have a protagonist in Marty McFly who wants to be a rock and roll star. So there's a really good reason for him to sing. And the characters in Back to the Future are all larger than life, operatic on a certain level. And that also inspires you to say, yeah, they could sing. Doc Brown should sing about the fact that he built this DeLorean and it works. And George McFly has a reason to sing, and Lorraine is in love with this guy and she has a reason to sing. So all of this stuff came together and you said, yeah, this really does make sense to translate it in musical theater.
Seeing the DeLorean on stage and seeing the DeLorean fly on stage is breathtaking. It's really cool. I would think it's hard.
Yes, it is very hard. And when I wrote the book, I had no idea how this could be done. And this is one of those cases where you just close your eyes and you cross your fingers and you say, I hope we have some really good people that care about this and are going to be able to figure out how to do this. And God damn it, they did.
They sure did. So that brings us to a point of when you're writing the book, you wrote the co-wrote the film. And how different is it than to write a book for a musical?
Well, yes, it's different. I mean, the rules of drama, of course, are the same. But the watchword that I had in my head was to say, first of all, it cannot be a slavish adaptation of the movie, because otherwise people could just stay home and watch a movie. We didn't want to do that. The stage allows you to do things that you can't do cinematically. And so let's take advantage of that. And at the same time, let us not attempt to do something on a stage that is going to be impossible or dangerous. So the first thing that was eliminated was the skateboard chase, because there's no way that you could do that with your lead actor riding on a skateboard and take a chance that he's going to fall and break his ankle and be out of the show for 6 weeks. That's just crazy. And having a dog on stage, that's problematic. The Darth Vader scene where Marty's head is completely covered by a face mask. How do you sing when your face is covered by a face mask? We saw Spider-Man. It doesn't work. You can't do that, right? We said, okay, we can't do a terrorist car chase, so let's not do that. So all these things that went away, I had to say, well, are there substitutes? Yes, there had to be a substitute for the terrorist chase. Doc Brown has to be incapacitated in some way, and there has to be a reason for Marty to drive the DeLorean 88 miles an hour. And I came up with something that works dramatically just as good as the terrorist thing. At the same time, there were things in the movie where we said, you know what? People love Goldie Wilson. They love that guy who says, mayor, that's a good idea. I could run for mayor. So we expanded that character, and he has a much bigger role in the show than he does in the movie because we learned that the audiences love that guy.
You know this, obviously, and from seeing the musical, that when dialogue that comes out of where we're going, we don't need roads, the audience goes nuts. I mean, they're waiting for that, too. I mean, I understand that you have to change things, but there's also dialogue and key moments of the film that absolutely have to be there.
We made a list of things that absolutely had to be there. That was one of them. You know, I'm your density. That had to be there. 1.21 gigawatts has to be there. Doc, are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean? Well, if you're going to build a time machine in a car, why not do it with some style? All these iconic lines, yes, they have to be in the show, and they are. So your favorite line, it's going to be in there. Isn't that your name, Calvin Klein? It's written all over your underwear. Yes, it's in here. So if you love the movie, you're going to love the show, and you're going to see all these callbacks. Even if you have never seen the movie, you're going to love the show because it's designed to work regardless of whether you've seen the movie. So you're going to have surprises. You're going to be on the edge of your seat. And all you guys out there who are thinking, oh, musical theater, I wouldn't be caught dead. This is Back to the Future. This is the one you come see. You bring your girlfriend to this one, she's going to love you.
Yeah, again, instead of the prom. Now, let me just say that I found it to be, in seeing the musical, of just loving the way that this all turned out and how satisfied I felt as I was leaving the theater. It is a very different experience, but I'm wondering, when I look back at the film, and I saw the film just before I went to go see the musical, the film still stands up. And I don't know if you know this, Bob, but not all films made in 1985 still stand up. So do you have a sense as to why that is?
The story of Back to the Future taps into something that is a universal human thing, and it's the humanity of Back to the Future that is gives it its lasting power. Everybody wonders, what were my parents like when they were kids? And when you get a little older, you think, what did my parents do on their first date? How did they get together? How did I get here? And that transcends all cultures, all time periods, and that's why the movie was a big hit all over the world and continues to garner fans, because this is something that everybody wonders about. What were my parents like when they were in high school? And that's what we tap into.
As we wrap up, was there any thought of, okay, well, we better think about part two and part three as musicals as well?
No, actually, part one is the perfect movie to make a musical out of. Part two could actually never be a musical, because my sense of musical theater that I've educated myself in throughout this process, you need a really strong love story. Back to the Future has two. It has the love story between Marty and Doc Brown, and it has a love story between Marty and his father and Lorraine. So there's and Jennifer too. So there's three actually. The best musicals all have love stories, and Back to the Future Part 2 does not have one. Back to the Future 3 does. So in some weird alternate universe, maybe there's a musical of Back to the Future Part 3 without there being one of Part 2. But we're going to quit while we're ahead, I think.
Yeah, well, that seems right. Just because this is and you've left it so in such a lovely way that why does it need anymore?
That's why there's no Back to the Future Part 4. We feel like we've told the story. The musical tells a wonderful story. You walk out of the theater bouncing, out of the theater singing, happy, smiling, wanting to go back and see it again. That's what more could you want?
Couldn't want much more. Bob Gale, I thank you very much for being with us. It's been an absolute blast to talk to you. I just want to tell the audience real quick that I was having some headphone troubles at the beginning of the interview, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. My headphones aren't working. Bob went into his trusty bag and came out with the best headphones. So I thank you for that. This interview wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you.
I hate to tell you, you're going to have to give me those headphones back because I do love those headphones.
They're great headphones, and I certainly will get them back, and we'll wash them up for you. Bob Gale, it's Back to the Future, the musical at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady, June 6th, June 7th, June 8th. Those are the days that it'll be in performance. You can find out more, proctors.org. Bob, a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Pleasure doing this.
Again, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAM6.